In Matthew, you probably turn me down a little bit. Well, let me adjust my volume down. In Matthew, no, it doesn't work. In Matthew 28, the Lord gave a commission to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And that's in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And of course, that was the commission that we fulfilled, or at least followed, as we went to Finland just a few weeks ago. And I still wonder if I'm over the jet lag. Some have said yes, some have said no, not really. But, you know, it was a wonderful, exciting thing. And then yesterday I thought, you know what, it would be really neat for people to hear what it was that we experienced there. So I called everybody and said, how'd you like to get up here and share? And everyone said, yeah, they're willing. So that's what I'm going to do, is I'll just call you up here one at a time, and then I'll sit down. And, you know, if you hear, I know one of the fears, I think, of going successively like this, you think, oh, they're going to say everything I wanted to say. And I've heard of pastors, you know, asking the other pastor, what are you going to teach? And he'll share with them. And then the one who asked the question gets up and teaches on the verses that they just shared, told him they were going to teach on. And that's not the intent here. But I know that we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they're from four different perspectives. And we all had a different perspective when we were over there. I shared a couple of the high points that I had seen on Sunday. There's a lot more that could be said. So what I'd like to do is just ask one of you to come up here. And I don't have a real order. So Stephanie, you want to come up first? We'll just get it out of the way early, Steph. By the way, after she's shared tonight, she will be an international Bible teacher, okay? I'll just step back down. When you're done, just step out and bob up.
Okay. Well, the trip was so awesome. This is the first mission trip I've ever been on, and it was such an incredible experience for me. I just want to share just a few things. Different opportunities I had and stuff. So in the beginning of the trip, I was a bit nervous because I had never shared with anyone before or witnessed to anyone. And but the Lord gave me a verse in Exodus 4, and it says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And the Lord just gave me comfort because he just told me, like, Stephanie, I'm with you when you go out there, and I'm going to give you the words to speak. And this verse, these verses just really gave me comfort in that, and the Lord just helped me throughout that area. And I had a couple opportunities. I had two real ones to really, like, share the gospel with people, and one of them was in Helsinki when we went there for 2 days. I shared with this one girl, and when I started talking to her name's Aria. And when I started talking to her, I started talking to her about the Lord and stuff, and she's like, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm saved. And I was like, oh, it's so cool. So that was cool to just, like, minister to her, to minister one to another. And so that was cool. And I gave her the track anyway to read. But and the other one was really cool. It was in Turku. We were doing worship by the river, and I was just, like, just sitting there and just kind of worshiping, and I just randomly looks to my right, and I see this girl, like about my age, walk down the hill and just start listening to the music. And I just felt the Lord's prompting to go talk to her. So I went over there, and it was so cool because I had been praying like the whole trip that I would have an opportunity to talk to someone like my own age, like a girl my own age, so I could like kind of relate to her and stuff. And it was so cool. Her name was Issy. And you can all pray for her because she really, like, I started talking to her. She had no clue about anything. She didn't ask her if she believed in God, and she didn't know of anything, really, and it's so sad. But she was so interested in what I had to say, and she looked straight in my eyes the whole time that I was talking to her, and it was just so cool to see. And I just pray that the Lord will open her eyes to see that He's all that really matters, because I don't really know what her heart is, or what her life is, really, that she has to go home to, but I just keep her in your prayers also. And so it was just such a cool trip. I was just so blessed to be there. I don't know, there's a lot of things I guess I could share, but I just wanted to mention those things. And throughout the trip, we just saw the Lord's faithfulness and just learned how to trust Him a little bit more in different circumstances. And the Lord, towards the end of the trip, I think it was like the last day that we were actually there, like the full day, we were doing worship by this church, and I was just sitting on the bench out like next to where we were worshiping. I was just sitting alone, and the Lord gave me a verse when I was sitting there, and it's in Psalm 40, verses 5, and it says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And the Lord just had done so many cool things there, and how many seeds were planted, and it's just so cool to see. And just sitting there thinking about all the Lord did and just the amazing things He had done, it's just like, it like brought tears to my eyes, because I was just, it's just so amazing. Like, the Lord is just so awesome, and to see Him working in the lives of those people and the people, and just the opportunity to be there is just so awesome. And I'm so blessed. So that's all I really have to say.
Yeah, I've asked each to keep it down to 5 minutes if you can. So, Dave.
Okay. Well, the very last night that we were there, for that full day that Stephanie was talking about, it was the Thursday night that we had the guys study. Well, we had the guys study that night, and we were on our way leaving from there, and we were walking down a path, and I think you might have told the story on Sunday. I wasn't out here, but a man came up to us and like came running up to us. It was just the craziest thing. Like, you know, when you're out in the streets, you kind of feel like you have to go out and reach them. The Lord just has a way of bringing people to you. And so this guy comes up, and a few of the guys start talking to him. And while they're talking to this guy and ministering to him, another guy comes running up to us. And I don't know if he thought there was like a fight going on or something or what, but he kind of like asked what was going on, found out that this guy is a believer in Jesus, and he was coming out of a bar. And he had, turns out that he had obviously like a serious problem with drinking, but that he's divorced and he can't see his children, or just, you know, like his life had fallen apart. And I was basically looking at a man that would had come to the end of himself. And it was like, what do you say to this guy? You know, I really was at a place of, like, the Lord had really given me a heart for this guy, but I just didn't know really what to do or what to say to him. And all I could really tell him was that the Lord desires to be our satisfaction. He desires it. He desires to take that place in our heart. And I saw this guy wanting that. You know, he saw that. He saw that he'd been to these places. He'd seen the, you know, what this stuff had for him, the world. And he had really just, I mean, he was at a place that there was nowhere else to turn. And he'd, well, anyway, the scripture that came to mind for me with that situation was the prodigal son, where, and then it says in Luke 15, verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave it unto him. And this part where it says that he would fain have filled his belly, the word fain, I just looked it up in the concordance, and it says to set your heart upon or to long for, rightfully or otherwise, to covet, desire, or lust after. And I just, you know, it was like, you know, I found out, I realized in myself that, like, I can come to a place where I desire the things of this world to a point that I actually lust after them and just hunger for it. And I know that the Lord wouldn't have it be that way, that He truly does desire to be our satisfaction. And so the Lord brought me to Leviticus, and a verse in Leviticus 20:26 says, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." And I noticed it said that you have been severed. Like, if you look at a tree, the branch has been cut off. It's been severed from that tree, but He says that you should be mine, implying a choice. And so I just realized, like, just like this guy, but the Lord really spoke to me. You know, as I was looking at him, I could even see myself, you know, where in the world am I still at, you know, looking to this world, and that He gives us a choice, and the choice is that we should be His. And I don't know, this, that opportunity to talk to that guy really did bless me, and showed me just a little bit more. It opened the door for me to see a little bit more of myself and in my own heart of the places that I need to surrender to Him, because, you know, the Lord just desires to be our satisfaction. So, that was one for me.
5 minutes, good. Okay. Yeah, what Dave didn't say was that several of the nights he was out behind the hostel with his guitar around midnight, and that would draw the young people in also, and he got an opportunity to witness that way also. So that was a real blessing. Dee, are you out here somewhere? There you are. Okay. In case... if you were thinking I was going to from young to older, yeah, no, we're not.
I'm gonna mix it up.
I was Stephanie's roommate. Come on.
One of the young ones.
I was there because Stephanie was homesick at first, and so I stole her teddy bear, and that might have been the only reason I was there. But it was awesome. Now I had a wonderful time there, and we could go on. We could probably keep you here for a week. But it was just wonderful. I just go back to our first meeting when we gathered here last fall, and John shared the scripture out of 1 Corinthians 16:9, and I'm just going to read it again because it was so awesome. "For a wide door of effective service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." And as soon as that was read, I felt the call to go to Finland. The Lord just gave me a vision, and He said, "Step in and go," and I was shocked. And I said, "What do I have to offer?" But I was obedient, and I could never forget that He called me. So I stepped in, and many of us had many adversaries before we went. Some of us already have gone on a downhill slide since we came home, but we were certainly on the mountaintop while we were there. And we worked as a group. And I think one of the reasons that I really was thinking about the whole trip more on a whole, and we worked as one body. We were really the body of Christ. And we were all different ages, all different backgrounds, and we just worked as one unit. And there was just love that was there all the time. And as far as I know, I don't think anyone had any problem with anyone. which was a miracle to put us all together for that many days and kind of sleep deprived, because my room seemed to keep me up really late, and it wasn't my fault. Anyway, I think it was Stephanie again. But we, during those months, we spent a lot, every other week we got together and we would pray and we would praise and we would share our testimonies. And I think because of that, we broke down a lot of walls before we even went. So the Lord was preparing us so that when we went there, we had already dropped a lot of pride. We were able to just go and we already knew each other, and then we were able to be used of the Lord. There were so many incidents, but there was a fun incident for myself, and actually Dan was involved in this one. And as the group was singing and praying, and we were out in Helsinki, we were actually on an island at a fort, and there was a lot of really neat things going on there. And one of the visions that I had there was of Pastor Robert Pecoraro ministering to a group of teenagers, and he was up on the wall of the fort on these steps, and he had these teens all around him, and it kind of looked like kind of old-fashioned castle-type look to it, and I just still have such an image of that, and just seeing how the Lord was using him as we were praising the Lord, and it was like we were softening that ground. And you could just see the Lord minister and how people would slowly come up, and then one of us in the group would step out and just engage in conversation. And the hearts were softened because of the prayer and praise and the prayer that was coming from back here. It was all together, and it was working, and the Lord was doing it. But Dan and I had the opportunity to talk to this guy named Tony, and Tony was from Albania, and there were people from all over Europe were in Helsinki and Turku at the time that we were there, because it was holiday. And Tony walked up, and he was listening to the musicians, and you could tell he was totally enjoying it. And so we went up and said, "So, do you like music?" And he said, "Yes, I'm a musician." And we're like, "Really, you're a musician?" He goes, "Yes, I'm famous back in my country." And we're like, "Well, what country do you come from?" And he says, "Albania." So, "Tony from Albania, you're famous?" And he goes, "Well, I'm a little bit famous." And so we kind of had that joke through the rest of the trip that we were all a little bit famous because our neighbors knew us, and so that was pretty good. But Tony was very open to the gospel, and Tony really was a musician. He had the gold chain around his neck, and you know, he was all in white. He was like the Euro man, but he really wanted to know about the gospel. And we shared with him. We were able to share with him and give him a track, and he actually left with a Bible in his hand and said, "I'm going to read this." And we showed him where the Gospel of John was. So pray for Tony from Albania, because he's going to go back there. And we want to see a new Christian musician on fire from Albania. So.
You're all doing great to keep it down to 5 minutes. And yeah, it was quite a mix. Well, I'll save my wrap up till the end. Jeff, are you out there somewhere? Jeff? Yeah. It was quite a, as Dee said, a very diverse group, and that was quite an experience.
5 minutes. 5 minutes. Hear that Jeopardy song going? I guess one of the things that got me the most while we were there was just how important prayer was. Every morning we'd have our own individual time, and we had the 5:30 in the morning street cleaner go by every day. So we were up, me, Dan, and John, pretty early in the morning. Dave didn't seem to hear it like the rest of us did. But so we all had our time, and John had asked me to share one morning, and so I worked all night the night before. What can I? And prayer just hit my heart. I couldn't find anything. So in the morning I got up, and I prayed about it, and something said Acts. So I opened my book, Acts 12, and what it was about was about Peter being freed in prison, that there was a group in church praying for him to free him. He got freed, and he went to the house where they're praying for him, and they didn't believe he was out there. And so he had to keep knocking on the door to get let in. And I thought, how interesting that is that the group that was praying for him didn't believe that their prayers were being answered. And we could see that, you know, the prayer from home was being answered, and especially that last night, like Dave was saying, that group of people, you know, we were on our way trying to catch the last bus of the night. So we were a little nervous. We're going to miss that last bus. And then, you know, Bobby, or as they call him over there, Booby, we're going to have to take us back and forth in his car. So we're trying to hustle, and we're all yelling, come on, let's catch up. And that group from the bar heard us yelling, and they came out and wanted to know what we were talking about, where we're from. And first it was the one guy who said he was an atheist that Bob and Cardi was talking to. Then the man that Dave was talking about came over to us. And before we left that night, we prayed with him, John, I, and Dave, to accept Jesus in his heart. And he broke down. I've never seen that before. He was crying so hard. And it was like all the prayers were answered that last night was that one man. And if I remember right, his name was Yanni. That was amazing. And while we're still talking with him, another man, I don't know, maybe you told this on Sunday, came over and was talking to Bob and Cardi. And while we were still talking, a woman came over and I think was talking to Dee. So here we were, wanting to catch the last bus of the night, and people were coming out of the woods to talk to us. And it was pretty amazing. It was a blessing at the very end of the trip. And there was so much in the trip. There was one time John and I were in the park, and we were off, just the two of us talking, and a woman came by. She was all dressed in black, and it was kind of neat. John started to share with her, and she was walking her dog, and the dog sat down on my foot and wouldn't leave. And just sat right there and chewed on a rock. And she kept kind of pulling on the dog to go, and the dog wouldn't leave. And it just sat on my foot. You couldn't even see my feet. And it was amazing. And she wanted to get out of there. She wasn't real comfortable, but she wasn't uncomfortable either. John shared quite a bit with her because the dog wouldn't leave my foot. So it was kind of funny. It was just one of those times the Lord was answering our prayers. But it was an amazing trip. If you never have a chance to do something like that, if you ever can, try to do it.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it just step forward in faith to these things, and you'd be amazed at how the Lord might use you. And there was someone from another fellowship that joined us, Becky. Come on up, Becky. That means I'm calling you now. Yes, she's from down in Calvary Chapel Perry, and the Lord put her together with us. And that's a nice thing about the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what part of the body or where you're from. We just kind of all mold together in a sense as we do His work.
If you were wondering, I met Bob and Madi through Ginny. I used to go, when I lived in Canandaigua, to a Bible study in her home. So through Ginny, I met Bobby and just fell in love with those guys. And Ginny let me know that there was a trip scheduled. So I came to the first meeting and sought the Lord, and he put it all together. So it was awesome. I was really blessed and encouraged to see God's sovereign hand upon us. You guys have heard a lot of testimonies. It sounds like Cardi shared a little bit on Sunday. Just amazing to me the way, we could really see His hand moving us in just a very natural way to lead us where He wanted us to be, to where there were people that needed to be ministered to, believers, unbelievers, some with soft hearts, some were hard, but God placed us where we needed to be to fulfill His plan. So I was really encouraged to see the Lord work in those ways. And I just so desire, and it was because we made ourselves available. We were obedient to take those steps. We wanted to do His will. And so He led us. And it was amazing just to see His hand overall. But that's something that I pray will continue. Now that I'm home, I want to continue to make myself available to the Lord, to be looking for those divine appointments, that are all around us every day. But I don't want to just go through my day-to-day plan and kind of leave God out of everything. But I so desire to put Him first and to see with His eyes and to be available and truly to watch His hand move and open doors and conversations. I also was impressed by the state of the hearts of the people. The soil was very hard. The Lord did lead us to those who had soft and open hearts. He led me to many. I was drawn to the young ladies in their early 20s. Talked with a handful of them who told me the same thing, you know, that they, you know, they took the Bible too literally, that Jesus can't possibly be the only way, and they just wanted to keep an open heart, an open mind to other ways, and didn't really know what was going to happen to them when they died, but didn't really care either. There was really no conviction there. You know, but still, and the Lord was teaching me to trust Him, even though those meetings were discouraging, just to see the hardness of those hearts, but to trust the Lord. He says, Paul said, one sows, another waters, but God brings the increase. So for me, it was just a lesson to trust the Lord to save souls. That's not our responsibility. We're called to go and to scatter seed. We may water, we may even reap a harvest, we may even see souls come to salvation, but it's all the Lord's work. So He's helping me to trust Him and to commit that work to Him and to continue to pray in faith for those seeds that were planted, that God will water them and reap a harvest. And one last thing that really impressed me, that ministered to my heart, was just the examples of those that we came to serve alongside, Bob and Maddie. And there was a Russian couple in Helsinki, Dima and Oksana, who just, you know, they literally laid down their lives to serve the Lord for the sake of the gospel. And they lived very simply. They were willing to be reduced to nothing to serve the Lord and to respond to His call. And what an example and what a challenge that was for me in my walk. And I really desire to decrease, that the Lord would increase, to make myself more available for His use and His service. So it was a blessing.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah, Becky mentioned that she was drawn to the young ladies in their 20s. I didn't just go after those that were my age. Not because there weren't any there now. That's not what I mean. But, you know, it's funny. Most of the young people spoke English, but most of the people that were, you know, 50 and above, that would be the first thing. Do you speak English? And most of them would say no. And they didn't. So it wasn't because they were all dead. You know, I'm not that old. I'm not older than dirt. Eric? But the neat thing is that we didn't have to have age limits, you know, that everybody is the same. They all need the Lord.
Hey. You know, I'm not sure what or even to start to share. I prayed about it, and there are so many awesome things happened, both leading up to and during the trip. It was difficult to whittle it down. But a couple of points I did want to touch on. It was such a huge blessing to go and plow the ground. Me and Lindsay struggled so much to get to Finland. It was so difficult for us. The enemy and circumstances and whatever came against us just incredibly, and you know, in finances and in practical things, and I mean everything down to you know, all three of my children getting sick and my sewer backing up and my car breaking twice in 1 week, just in the 7 days before we left. You know, it was incredible to see how much the Lord wanted us to go, you know, that there would be that much opposition. And I was going to Finland expecting this incredible, you know, 4th of July sort of finale, you know, 300 people are going to get saved, and you know, Bob's church is going to quadruple in size, and you know, it's not really realistic, but that was in the back of my mind. And as we got there, I realized that, you know, that wasn't the Lord's plan to do that in 10 days, but that God's plan was to do that in time, and God had a slower plan, and I was so blessed to be a part of plowing that ground and knowing that the seeds that we sowed as a team and the seeds that you know, me and my wife were able to sow are so valuable, and they're going to sprout. You know, I remember speaking with the most unlikely people. I sat down with my wife to talk to a couple of Muslim guys who you wouldn't expect to be open to the gospel. And before we left, I had given them Bibles, and they were reading them right there in the park, you know. it's just incredible to see what the Lord would do. He used every moment, every detail, everything that happened, God was in control of, and it was so cool to be aware of that all the time. You know, like everyone else has kind of said, you know, you come back to life, and we want to maintain that openness to God's moving, and, you know, God's in the details, and he wants to be. There was one time Nate wouldn't be calm during Bible study, and so I'm outside walking around the building while everyone else is inside doing Bible study, and I run into a guy with another who's walking his baby, and, you know, his wife speaks French. She's from Cameroon, and she goes to a Pentecostal church that speaks French, and he doesn't understand French. He's a Finn, and he was looking for a place to go, and he lives right next door to Bob's church, and I was able to share the gospel with him, and he wanted to bring his family to be ministered to. You know, just Nate crying and being upset, you know, God had a divine appointment in that. And, you know, I pray for, his name was Michael in English, but Mikael in Finnish. I just pray for all those people, so many people that we spoke to. I know that we compiled a list. And it was just such a blessing to know that the Lord is just moving and that he's continuing to move. And that our prayers as we continue to pray are going to be answered over there, and that it is going to grow. I just got a report that one of the a new person at Bob's church showed up, and he belongs to a non-denominational church who has about 40 people in it, and they don't have a pastor. They're looking for a pastor, and that's just so cool to see that there really are opportunities over there. There really is a work that the Lord is doing. And one other thing, just before I get down, just to talk about how blessed I was. Me and Lindsay and Nate got to stay with Bob and Maddie, and it was just such a blessing to come alongside them, and I just pray that they were blessed and encouraged, and I just want to remind everybody to please pray for them, because they really are in a tough spot without all of the fellowship that we take for granted. They don't have it, you know, they just don't have, just, you know, to have fun, you know, just to sit with you know, sit down as couples and play a game, and, you know, me and Bob be a team and just lose horribly to our wives. You know, just have fun and just be, you know, refreshed and uplifted in that. You know, we take that for granted, and Bob and Maddie don't have all kinds of that over there. So just please just pray for them and continue to do it. Thanks.
What was the name of that game again?
Sequence, that was it. Yes, I never did get that. Gail, you want to come up? Eric, why don't you tell Lindsay she can come out next? But Gail, come on up. And the thing, like Eric said, the Lord opens doors. One of the things the Lord did with Eric and Lindsay, and especially Lindsay because she often had Nate, is that a baby will open doors. You know, you take the baby up to the playground. She would go up to the playground, and the babies would be playing next to each other, and it would open the door of opportunity for her to speak to some of the ladies there. So lots of opportunities, yeah. Okay, 5 minutes.
I guess I'd like this to be an encouragement to all of you, because I know before I went on the trip, I was called by a very unusual circumstance that gave me the feeling that I should be going. But I'm thinking, who, me? Gosh, I'm not a public speaker, as you can probably tell. And actually, Mary Kay gave me a verse from 1 Corinthians, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And that really was a real blessing for me, because when we did go out, into the parks and the marketplace. That's all I really had to preach was Jesus Christ crucified. And boy, that we know that in our heart. That just came right out. And we had wonderful tracks. And I just felt so blessed to be able to give a very simple message that we all have on our heart. And so I just encourage all of you, just get out there and just say the word Jesus to people. And that just flows right off your out of my lips, and it means a lot to people. And I know I've never been one to feel very brave about talking to other people. And I know my husband and I already have had a situation since we've come home where maybe if it hadn't been for this trip, we wouldn't have opened our mouths. And it was just a very unlikely situation. But one thing that I think of when I think of the group, I think of a satellite view or a bird's eye view of us in either Turku or Helsinki, where they've just got beautiful parks and riversides along the Baltic Sea, and John and the group would be there playing music, and we'd all be sitting there singing, and off Mary Kay would run, and she'd run. Sometimes she did run. And there'd be somebody on a bench. And one time we were out near the Baltic, and I was with Becky, I believe, and Stephanie, and we'd been in a group, and Stephanie said, well, I think I'm just going to go sit out on the pier. And so when Becky came, I said, well, I'll go get Stephanie. She's out on the pier, and there she is sitting with a young woman witnessing to her. And I just thought, that is so cool. That is really, really neat. And one thing that we said maybe 2 days before we left is, let's end well. Because I don't know about the other people in the group, but I had a few days that I just was not really up to par. And I really do believe we ended well. And one of the things that sticks in my mind is as I was flying back, I was sitting next to this 10-year-old girl whose grandparents lived in Lithuania, and she was traveling alone, and we were on the flight together for almost 9 hours. And halfway through the flight, and her name was Meg, so pray for her. I was reading my Bible, and I asked her if she read the Bible, and she said no. She'd only been to church once, and that was during a funeral. So I gave her the gospel message, and I opened up John and walked her through John in terms of some of the verses about who God says he is and you know, what the promises are. And near the end of the conversation, I said to her, you know, all you have to do is just ask God and, you know, ask him. And she said, ask him into my heart. And it was so cool. She supplied that, this innocent 10-year-old girl. And she's from Chicago. But the whole point is the mission field is everywhere. And anyways, I guess that's my message, encouragement to all of you. Just get out there. Open your mouth. Say the word Jesus. That's all.
Thanks, Gail. And the Lord does, Lindsay, you made it in, come on up. The Lord does use us all, you know, like I said, we were all very different, but he uses us in different ways. And let Lindsay.
Hello. I haven't been out here for most of the testimonies. I've been hanging out with the kids, so I'm just going to share one so that I don't overlap anybody's. There were awesome opportunities from beginning to end. The Lord was just amazing. My son, for the couple of times that he whined, there was purpose for it, and other than that, he was amazing from the flight to the time change for the most part, and that was awesome to me. But there were some opportunities throughout the whole time for us to all talk to different people. And the one that just really encouraged me was at the end on the way home. This girl came and sat next to me on the plane, and I turned to Eric and I said, okay, pray, because she's a chatty one and we're going to have a lot of fun. So we talked for almost the whole 9 hours on the flight. Her name was Katie. And she was studying abroad over in Spain, and she was a doll. She reminded me of my little sister. And she said she was a bad Catholic. I had a lot of different comments for that, but I just stuck to sharing the gospel with her. And what you know, what it is to just have a relationship, and it's not about the religion. And she was really blessed by our conversation. I ended up giving her one of the tracks, the 101 Last Days track, so all the prophecy, you know, that is in Scripture. And she started reading it next to me, and she was like, her response, her eyes got huge, and she was like, "This is freaky." I was like, "Yeah, there's a lot more in there." It's so I pray she continues to read it. But when we touched down in Chicago, she followed us around everywhere. She went through customs with our group. She hung out with us for dinner, and she sat with us until her flight had to go. And we exchanged emails and stuff, and it was just so encouraging. Right at the end, when we were so fried and exhausted, and you know, although my son was as good as he was, I'm pretty carnal, so I was still kind of weary by the end. But it was awesome. And the fellowship with Bob and Madi, I was so blessed by. And I pray we get to go back. And please keep them in prayer, because they are them. They have themselves to go back to. So when they've had a hard day out witnessing, and they have each other to encourage each other, but not a whole group to lift them up in fellowship. So that's about it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guys, did you hear that? She talked for 9 hours. Wow, that's amazing. That's the part that God took out of Adam, that ability to talk for that. I see, you know, but you know, the Lord uses us in our differences. I think it's just amazing. And I know Gail, who shared that she had talked to that little 10-year-old girl on the plane also. Mary Kay, we'll leave the guys for cleanup here at the end. Okay.
Well, just as I had feared, everyone has said everything I was going to say. So, I could just piggyback on to Becky and to Gail, because truly that was the thing that was most impressed on my heart by the Lord after this trip, was the fact that all I had to do was be willing to open my mouth and go to someone, and he would speak through me. And that's exactly what happened every single time. So I was really blessed by that. Before we went, there was a couple of verses. One Gail read, and there was another one in Acts 4, and it just spoke of how Peter and John, they were not educated or trained men, but yet the Lord used them. And so I really did think a lot about that in the time before we went on our trip. And there were times when I really would start thinking in my mind, okay, this is what I'm going to say. And the Lord said to me, no, don't do that. So I didn't. So I truly did not know when I walked up to somebody, I was like, okay, Lord, here we go. And then I would just start to talk to them, and he just took over from there. And I had one experience with a couple, a married couple, whom I really didn't want to go over to. We were worshiping late in the evening in a park, and they had come up, and we had finished a worship song, and they clapped. And then we started singing again, and I could see nobody was going over to him, and I really was trying to get Dee's attention, because she turned around, but Dan was sitting across, and he was closed, his eyes were closed, and he was praying, and John's playing guitar, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess I got to go over there. So I went over to him, and this gentleman and his wife, they were very, very nice, very well-dressed, very educated, and the Lord was totally in control of that whole conversation, because it's just the kind of conversation I won't get into. I'm not political, and I don't like to get involved in contentiousness, and afterwards, I understood what that man was saying to me the whole time, but as the Lord was in charge of that conversation, everything that man tried to do and talked about, the social system in Finland, why were we there, why didn't we go? In fact, I was so not knowing what this man was all about in my flesh, thank the Lord, that when he was telling me, you know, I've got a really good idea on where you guys, you know, could go, and I thought he was going to tell us a nice place, a nice park where there'd be a lot of people to share with, and he said, why don't you go back home? And I was like, you know what? Because I had just come back from the hostel with Dave, because I had some laundry, and we were talking about how we really need to go back home. This is our mission field. This is the place where we live and where people, you know, need to hear about Jesus. We were talking about that. So I'm like to him, I said, yeah, you're right. You know, we were just talking about that. I mean, I'm so like, and his wife, her name was Therica, and she didn't say anything. He did all the talking, but she was watching every single thing that came out of me, and it was totally the Lord. Totally the Lord that just kept right on with his message. He didn't let this man, you know, nothing. So when I came away from that, I was like, wow, you know, I could never have done that, ever. I would have just shut down. Well, praise the Lord, bye. So, and talking about ending well, we were coming home from Denmark to Chicago, and there was a gentleman that was sitting next to me, and I happened to be in one of those middle kind of seats, and I could tell when he got on the flight, he kind of smelled a little bit of alcohol, and he was very nervous. He didn't like sitting there. He didn't like this long flight. And so for about 3 hours, I didn't have anything to do with him. And I even said, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to talk to him. I think he's had something to drink, and it's a man. I'm just not going to talk to him. I'm not going to share with him nothing. So I didn't. And then all of a sudden, he was really agitated. He had to get up. And finally, I said to him, why don't you just get up and walk around or something, and maybe you'll feel better. So he did, and I was glad he went. I was hoping he wouldn't come back. But he did. So when he did come back, the Lord really put on my heart, why don't you talk to him? So I did. I started sharing with him about, you know, where had he been? And then, of course, he asked me, and I told him, and what we were doing. And as it turned out, he lives in Cleveland, and he's Roman Catholic, and very concerned about his soul, very concerned about where he's going to go when he dies. I mean, he has a belief in God and Jesus, but, you know, he had no assurance of his salvation. So I shared with him, and as I was sharing, my husband was looking up verses in the Bible so that as I was telling him that he could know that he had eternal life, John handed me the Bible, and we would read the scriptures to him. And I had my devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, and I was trying to talk. He was saying, like, well, how do you know what to read? How do you know where to go in the Bible? And I said, well, I start out in the morning. I have, devotions that I do, and he didn't know what that was. So I gave him my devotional. And he was like, you're giving this to me? And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, just see how it's got the dates on it. You go to the date and you read it. And so it was amazing. And it was such a blessing. And I, like I said, I didn't want to talk to him. But the Lord put it on my heart. And I just really felt like, okay, I'm going to end this well. And so actually, I don't have anything more to share than anybody else. It was an awesome trip. Everything about it was awesome. There was a great group of people. We had a great time. It'll be something I'll never forget, and especially the way that the Lord showed me that all I have to do is be willing, and He will do all the rest, and He really will, and that's an encouragement for all of us as we're here, that it shouldn't be just a trip, but it should be the way that we live our life. So thanks.
Thanks, Mary Kay. Yeah, Mary Kay certainly exercised some tenaciousness and like a gentle attack dove. You know, she would just zero right in on him. Dan, is there anything you wanted to add to any of this? I know you always got something to say, right? I saved John and Dan for last because I know they can easily speak, and I want to give everybody else an opportunity. Yeah.
What did we do in Finland? We walked and we walked and we walked and we walked and we talked and we walked. And then we talked, and then we ate, and then we slept, and then we walked and walked and walked. Everywhere we went, we walked. It was great. It was good exercise. And I was a little bit afraid, too. You mentioned Lindsay talking for 9 hours. I remember sitting down, I think it was on the train, and Mary Kay was on one side of me, and Dee was on the other. And I said, oh, no, I'm in the crossfire. I'm going to have to lean back. There is so much that we could share, so much. And I'm sure, just ask me about Tony from Albania, the little bit famous man, or the guys from Germany, or the guys that were outside, out of the hospital. You know, there were so many opportunities for all of us, and I'd love to share with you. I only got a few minutes. So the main point that I would like to say, probably the biggest thing for me is remembering where we started with this last fall, where we would get together for prayer for Finland, for this outreach. We don't want to see anything that we can do, Lord. We want to see what You can do. And we know that there are souls all over this world. There are certain ones that you want to touch and you want to bring to us, and we pray. And we got together and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that the Lord would go before us, and He did go before us. And I don't believe that it has ended. It didn't end when we came back. Oh, no, we're just part of what God is doing. There are philosophies over there. There are doctrines of demons. There are strongholds that are there. The people, really, for the most part, if you don't start to talk to them, they won't talk to you. And so there's a stronghold there. The enemy has strongholds. And Bobby sent us a scripture a couple of months before we left, and it's in Matthew, and it says, you must bind the strong man of the house and plunder his goods. Those are Jesus' words. I don't usually give too much attention to the strong man in my prayer, but the Lord was showing me, this is how I need you to pray. This is a war going on. And all the scriptures that I've been reading right up until this point have showed me there's a war going on that we are not aware of. We don't see with our physical eyes. Jeff mentioned prayer. Prayer is so key. We had to pray before we left. We had to pray while we were there. We have to pray now. We have to continue to pray for Finland and for those strongholds. One opportunity that I got to demonstrate this was, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday of the last week that we were there. John, in the morning, had said we were, at our prayers and our devotions, that we were going to be going off to the city center that day to see what the Lord was going to do. But I had earlier in my time with the Lord known that He had said to me, I want you to go down to the library and just pray and wait there. Just go down to the library. And so I, after the devotion, I told John that's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do, to go down there by myself and pray and wait. I didn't know what for. But I got down there, and I sat in the bench, and I looked up at this big building, and I saw what it represented. It's one of those strongholds, you see, because there's in Turku, there's three or four different colleges, and all the kids are studying, you know. I don't know how many times in witnessing they would mention to me, oh, well, I've studied that religion, or I'm studying that culture. I believe that there's more than one way to God. And so I knew that there were this building that was before me represented a stronghold of man's wisdom. And I sat there on that bench with my Bible, and I prayed all day, and I read the words that Jesus said about wisdom, that God put in 1 Corinthians, that the cross of Calvary is the wisdom of God. To man, it's foolishness, but the cross is the wisdom of God. And in Proverbs 8, that wisdom stands outside the gate of the city and cries out to all the men and women that are going to and fro, come, I am wise, I have wisdom. Come to me. And I would put my Bible up against that library any day. And I know that there is a stronghold there that needs to be continued to pray for, to bring down that stronghold. So that's what I want to continue to do. And I think we all need to continue to do, not just for those souls that we got a chance to talk to. I know that God arranged those things, but the prayer that needs to continue for Bobby and Madi and for Finland and the doctrines that are there, we need to continue. We don't wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so that's my encouragement today, too, is that we all continue to pray, not just for Finland, but for everything that's around us, where we live, in our nation, and all the nations, because God is moving, and He wants to move in all the nations.
Well, John, is there anything you wanted to add to any of this? Thank you all for your patience. I know this is taking a little longer than our normal Bible study, but the chairs are comfy, and you stood all through worship. All through worship.
As you can see from all of the folks that have paraded up here tonight, there's nothing particularly special about any one of us. And that is why tonight I want to give the glory to God. This mission trip, which really, in God's estimation, started before the foundation of the world, started to take shape when Mary Kay and I met with Bobby and Madi and were bonded together with them in a very special way through worship and fellowship and all that stuff. They moved off to Finland, and the next desire of my heart was to go to Finland. Not a place I had ever thought of in my whole life. And yet, that's where the Lord called me to. And when we were there, we had talked about doing an outreach from our fellowship. Bobby and Madi were born from this fellowship. Bobby actually was saved in Pastor Cardi's office 8 or 9 years ago. And I came back with that vision, and as Dan said, we got together and we prayed. Peter and Ginny, Dan and Dee, and Mary Kay and I would meet and just pray that if it was the Lord's will, that He would raise this up. And after praying and praying and praying, I went and talked to Pastor Cardi and told him that I felt the Lord was calling us to an outreach, and he was agreeable to it, which to me was a blessing. But the strange thing is, the more you get into this, you realize that, at least I realize, in my own capacity, I did not have, what it takes to do what God was asking me to do. So through that whole time, I needed to rely on Him totally, that His will would be done in everything that transpired for this trip. And I have to say that God was beyond faithful. It says in, and I know I'm going to blow this if I don't open my Bible up. I think it's Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God did more than we could ever have hoped for. As we met for this trip, we had always said we have no expectations once we get there. We know that the Lord is sending us, and we are going to be faithful to go. Once we arrive, I have no idea what's going to happen. And truly, that's a scary place to be as a leader. I wanted kind of things to be mapped out and in place so that there was no dead time and everybody was active. But that's not the way the Lord wanted it. And I just have to tell you, every place that we set our feet, the Lord had people there for us to minister to. It was like manna from heaven raining down. We didn't have to do anything other than open our mouths to speak. And I just want to encourage all of you, and even myself, as Dan did. The mission field is truly all around us. And it was very easy to be so absorbed in all of it because you're with a group of Christians in a foreign place and you're all together and that's really all your focus is about for 10 days. It's really easy to get in the groove and to go and witness. And coming back home, I have to tell you, I'm really having a hard time getting up and going to work in the morning. It's like I miss the fellowship. I miss the Lord working in me and through me, all of the different things He did. You know, for so many years as a Christian, I have been getting filled up Bible studies and retreats and all of these neat things. And to get out and to pour out as the Lord pours in was to me the most awesome thing that has ever happened to me. It has changed my life forever. And as other people have said, I hope it continues right here in this community.
And the challenge is, and the invitation is, that we go out into our community on a regular basis. And I am prayerfully going to try to go out on Saturdays into Palmyra and into Macedon with whoever will go, with musical instruments, with Bibles, with tracts, with whatever, and just go and tell the people about Jesus, because there are so many people out there that don't know where they're going or what happens when they leave this world. And they're willing to believe almost anything because they want something. They've got nothing in this life. So if we aren't going to be the ones to go out and tell them, somebody else will fill them with other strange doctrines. And truly, the call of Christian is to go out and tell people about Jesus. So, you know, I could tell you of numerous opportunities we had to share. We're going to have a list of all the people that we talked to. Hopefully, we're going to get them all to Dee, and she's going to put a list together, and we're going to put them up on the bulletin board. There's hundreds of people that we talked to, all desperately searching for truth and for answers. But those same people live in our neighborhoods, and those same people work in our workplaces, and we need to reach out to them. So the encouragement, the exhortation is to follow the Great Commission. You can see it doesn't take great people, all right? I mean, you've seen the parade that came up here. We're just ordinary people. Not one of us, I don't think, is a called evangelist. And yet the Lord was able to do mighty things through us because we allowed him to. And that's all it takes. Really, that's all it takes, is to say, okay, Lord, if there's someone today, just show me and I'll open my mouth. And if you open your mouth, you'll be amazed, truly amazed at what comes out. So, you know, we sang a song earlier, stir up in our hearts a passion for your name. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that's ever been given to man. He is the answer to everyone's woes and problems, and we need to, as Christians, start getting the message out. So I encourage you and exhort you to do that, and to exhort one another to love and good works, and to encourage each other and to pray for one another. And lastly, as everyone has said, and we need to continue, there are many people that need to be helped over in Finland. There is a core group of people. We have Dima and Oksana, a Russian couple that are in Helsinki. There's Bob and Mari in Turku. They have recently had a worship leader and his wife added to their fellowship, which is a blessing. We need to be praying for them. They live in conditions that we're not used to. Okay, they have really been willing to give up all to follow the Lord. And if all we can do is offer a prayer for them, well, that's all we really need to do, is to offer a prayer for them. Prayer is what makes everything happen. And the Lord is able, through our prayers, to make great things happen. We've seen it in Finland, and I'm sure we'll see it around us in our neighborhoods and in our workplace. So, again, just to give God the glory, he was faithful beyond our wildest imaginings when we were over in Finland.
Thanks, John. And I was touched that John misses us all. I think we should all go to his place for breakfast tomorrow. One of the things that is apparent is that the Holy Spirit's the same everywhere. And the heart of man is the same everywhere. If you're in Finland, Russia, doesn't matter where it is, America. And the heart of man in Finland is like America. Everyone needs Jesus Christ. And what we found was that there's a certain amount of scheduling, like John says, and then there's the Holy Spirit leading. So the schedule was to be here, go to city center, go to the park, go to the river. And then once you get there, then the Holy Spirit leads. So, you know, you may say to yourself, well, you know what, I'm going to go sit over in Macedon. I'm going to go down into Penfield or wherever it is. That's going to be the plan, and then let the Holy Spirit lead. And witnessing doesn't have to be a striving. My greatest gift is not evangelism. Actually, it's pastor teaching. Big surprise, right? But evangelism isn't So I tend to be a slow evangelist, but this is still evangelism. I would sit down beside people and just start talking about the town. It might be 15 minutes into the conversation before I'd even mention the Lord, because I'm establishing a relationship with them. Nice town you got here. Reminds me of where I grew up. Where do you grow up? New York. They have trees in New York? Oh, yeah, where I live, they do. You know, you get a dialogue going. So it doesn't, it's not, evangelism isn't standing on the street corner necessarily handing out tracts. It's starting up a conversation with someone that will, and, but you have a destination in mind. You're going to take them to the Lord. So that's what we all saw. We saw a diverse group. As you saw, most of the people that got up here tonight are not used to speaking in front of others. You wouldn't know it. The Lord did something special in everybody's heart, and He can do the same with yours. But you don't have to go overseas to do it either. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You are there with us wherever we are. That, Lord, You create opportunities right before us. We just need to be willing to step forward to do Your will, Lord. So help us to do the work of an evangelist, as Paul spoke of, Lord, that we might just boldly speak Your name. That our lives would be an example, Lord. We do thank You for the opportunities You and the doors You opened as we were over there, Lord. And as John said, and as everyone said, let us not stop now. Let us just continue, because the mission field is all around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.